Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title for our sermon this morning is Code Red. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved in the Lord, we took Gwendolyn to college last Friday. That's one of those kind of milestone events, right? And so I've been in sort of a reflective mood, nostalgic. And I wonder if you would join me today in being reflective. As I look back on my dear daughter Gwendolyn and 18 years of her life, I see a lot of good things. But if I'm honest, can I be honest here in church? I've got some regrets. I see a lot of my failures. I see missed opportunities. I see time and resources that were given to me wasted. And I can't help but think about these things as I hear Jesus tell a story about a manager who had been given charge over the rich man's resources, and he is told, you're fired because he's wasted that wealth. So again, would you be nostalgic with me? Can we look back? I mean, real nostalgic. Let's look back thousands of years to when God created the heavens and the earth. Think about for a moment what we were created to be. The very image of God. When you saw the human beings that God had created, you had a picture of God with this capacity to create, this capacity to imagine possibilities and to bring them to pass, with this capacity, remember we talked about this, what it means to be a human, to trust God and also to love, this capacity to invest yourself in someone else, in something outside of yourself, and to make the world a better place. I mean, think about that. In a real way, we can say God created mankind to take his creation and make it even better. That's what happened. He made the Garden of Eden and he gave Adam and Eve charge over it and said, you get to take care of it now. That's what we were capable of doing. We could take the earth's potential. We could harness this power and we could do unbelievable things. Create such beauty and wonder. Life. What a waste when you think where we're at. The things that our hands were capable of, and yet they have lain slack at our side or have grabbed things for ourselves. Words that are capable of such power and imagination and creativity, and yet we've wasted them, cutting down other people, speaking lies and untruths. The places we were designed to go and our feet have taken us places that we never should have been. You can't help but look at the wonder of God's creation and the way things are supposed to be and not ask the question that the poet Gerard Manley Hopkins asks in his poem, God's Grandeur. Why do men then, not now, reckon his rod? In other words, Hopkins is saying, when you look at God's creation, how could we not reckon with God's authority? That's what we see in the story Jesus tells. A manager wasting the rich man's possessions, and the time of reckoning comes. You're fired. You have to turn in the account of your management. You're done. And so I have a question for us to reflect on today. Why is there no sense of urgency among us as God's people? The manager in the story sees that he's in code red. He knows that it's go time. Everything's lost, and he needs to act. And so he goes with really kind of a harebrained plan. I mean, this is a Hail Mary. He goes and finds the people who owe his master, and he asks them what their bill is, and then he slashes their bill. He cuts their bills by like 50% with the hope, just on the hope, that he will get in their good graces when he finally has to turn in the keys. You can see the desperation in this manager. And I'm wondering, what about the church? What about us Christians? Do we have the same sense of urgency? I mean, think about the sense of urgency we have seen these past 6 months because of a virus. Look at what we've been willing to, look at how we have been willing to change our lives. Because of concern of a virus. And maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. Do we have that same sort of desperation when it comes to spiritual matters? Do we have that same sense of urgency, knowing what was supposed to be in creation and what's all around us, and that it's actually our fault? We can't go pointing fingers at other people. There is this time of reckoning. Would you think about that? Would you reflect on that, please? And what's interesting is this reality that I think we see in the Western church of complacency, of just sort of trying to blend in and get along. It's been that way for a while. There's a French author. I'm not going to try and say his name. Okay, I'll try and say his name. Georges Bernanos. He wrote a book in the 1930s entitled The Diary of a Country Priest. I read this a few years, quite a while ago, actually. And I don't remember a lot about the story, but I do remember this, that It's about this young priest just out of seminary who goes to this rural town, this community in France in the 1930s. And of course, he has all kinds of romantic ideals and dreams about the way things will go, and then he sees reality. And he's faced up, first of all, to a congregation, a people who are really rather indolent. That's your vocab word for the day, indolent. And actually kind of just mean. He writes in his journal, "I don't think my congregation sees me, and I don't know them." He loves to teach confirmation class, and the confirmation students really just kind of mock him. And then he also has to deal with his own inexperience and foolishness, he says. And then after, I don't know how long, he's not there very long, he dies of stomach cancer, the end. It's a real pick-me-up kind of book. And I share that with you because what this author is seeing in the 1930s is this decay of the Christian church, of this attitude, this way of living where it's kind of getting along. Spend your time buying and getting, keeping up with the Joneses. You go to church sort of as a matter of principle, but you confess that God reigns, but then you live that way, or you live throughout the week as if God's reign really doesn't matter. And that is a picture that I think we can see of the church today. Do we see the smallness of our work compared to the greatness of God's command? Do we see our slowness to obey while time is running out? We have to deal with that. The church sort of crumbling around us, seemingly. And kind of like when the Titanic was going down, and you hear stories of people having snowball fights. Sometimes I think that's a good depiction of us. Well, here's the thing. In the midst of the desolation, we see God's revelation. In the novel, Diary of the Country Priest, this young priest goes to Paris to go to a doctor, and he's staying in an apartment with his friend, and it's there that he dies. And his friend sees this, and he calls for a priest to come so that he can have last rites, so that he can hear God's word, that he can die with that consolation of God's grace. And the priest doesn't get there in time. So here's what this young, dying priest says as he waits. "Does it matter? Grace is everywhere." I don't want you to miss this. This friend is concerned that he's not going to hear the word proclaimed by the priest of God's grace, and the dying priest says, "I'm good, because I see that God's grace is everywhere." Now, this is a guy who regularly seemed to be failing in his call as a pastor. This is a guy who continually saw the foibles of a congregation. He saw his own weakness, and yet somehow in the midst of all of this, he comes to this revelation that God's grace is everywhere, that there's nowhere you can go where God's grace isn't behind you to catch you, underneath you, to lift you up, or before you to lead you. What does this young priest know? Well, I think he knows this story that Jesus tells of this manager who has this really harebrained idea where he's just going to cut people's bills and hope that they're going to take care of him for the rest of his life. I mean, that's a dumb plan. And yet, it works. And the only reason it works is because the rich man is gracious. It only works because this rich man, who was concerned that his manager was wasting his possessions, does not think that to cut everyone's bills is a waste. He's pleased to do it. And here in the darkness, in the muddle, and in the missed chances, suddenly we see, despite ourselves, that God's grace is with us. God's grace is consistent, and it is persistent, and it is relentless. Yeah, it's a mess. Yeah, we've failed. Yeah, there is loss and regret, and yet God's grace. And so finally, that's what I'd like for you to reflect on today. Who is this? Who is this rich man who, when he hears that his manager has cut the bills of those who owe him money, who is this guy who is tickled and laughs and actually commends this servant and says, "Good job, that was a good one"? Who is this one who pays people who work 1 hour for 12 hours worth of work? Who is this that takes David, an adulterer, a murderer, and really not a very good dad, and he calls him a man after his own heart? Who is this that sees our sin, our uncleanness, our unfitness, our inability to do worthy deeds, and yet, as a treasured guest, seats us at his table? This is the Rock of Ages, cleft for you and for me. This is the eternal God, the Prince of Heaven. This is the one who does not change. As it was, so it is, and so shall it be. That he is cleft for us, and that he pours out his blood, his water, and he cures us for more sins than we've created, than we've committed. Who is this God? Well, he's your God. And you have an eternity to continue to get to know him better. So now, dear friends, what do we do? What shall we do now that we've begun to see? What are we going to do? We can't pretend like the situation isn't desperate. And we can't pretend like we are the ones who are going to fix it. but neither will we despair. So how about this? How about we strive to love one another? How about we take what God has given to us and we do our best to invest in those around us? Will we sometimes falter? Will we fail? Probably. But it's worth a shot because grace is everywhere. In Jesus' name. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.